you know, you don't want to offer management advice to people. You have to like phrase it like and do it like. So I'm saying, what kind of what approach do you take to that?
So the basic question is, how do you give advice in a situation where you feel you have a better take on the situation than a close friend or a relative, and they're not heeding the warnings they should be heeding in life, and you feel like you have a better take on where they're headed, and they don't realize where things will end up. That's the basic question, right? More or less. Yeah?
More or less. Even though I do know that I don't know everything.
Okay, so I think here again you have to gauge a few points. Point number one is, how close are you to the person? Sometimes people have a lot of advice and they haven't spoken to the person in years. Like a guy hasn't spoken to his cousin in 2 years, then he hears that his cousin's going to marry someone not from our religion, and then he gives him a phone call and says, "What's wrong with you?" And ta 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 ta. But I mean, for your benefit, and I mean for your good. Well, I don't want to hear you. You didn't care to call and wish me a good year. You didn't care to do anything with me. Now suddenly you think you're going to save the day. Goodbye. So you have to be honest, engaging in your appraisal of where your relationship is holding. That's first of all. Secondly. A conversation face to face is always better than something by email or written, even though sometimes writing something is better. But when you're going to say something that you know the other side doesn't want to hear, so then when you're talking face to face, that always gives you the option of gauging, understanding, and going slowly. In written form, you sort of have to put everything down on the table, and that's a big disadvantage. So if you're going to try and go down this route and you feel like you're in a position where you should be giving advice, then generally the first thing to do is try to engage in conversation in that direction. Now, you have to remember that most people don't want to hear you. Not you specifically, but most people in general are not open to hearing anything different than what they're doing. One way to overcome it, a way that very often works, is by talking to them about a third party. How does Natan HaNavi get David to understand that he sinned? He comes and tells him a story. Listen, there's this man, he had a sheep, he was impoverished, and then a wealthy person needed a sheep for his meal. He grabbed his sheep, and the poor man, I mean, he slept with that sheep, she fed him, their kids played with him. And this wealthy man, he had so much good, he wasn't lacking anything, he just needed some meat. He went and grabbed the poor man's sheep, slaughtered it. What does David say? Bada biff, bada boom, bada bang, right? No way!
Wow, that was awesome.
We're going to punish him four times over, and right? Okay, so, and then Natan says, I'm talking about you, David. So then David sees it. And we have a few examples like this in Tanakh. So you have to be smart. And very often you have to think a lot. You have to invest a lot of thought how you can approach a situation. You have to think. And then you have to open the conversation and see where it's going to go. More often than not, if the situation is weighty enough that it bothers you, then the other party cares enough that they're not going to listen. That's a sad rule. I remember once I spoke to a rabbi who I learned under, and he told me that he had a really close friend who was dating a girl. And he felt that this friend was blinded by the fact that the girl's father was a big rabbi in some town. So the guy is dating and he asks him, "Don't you think you're being a little bit blinded by the fact that her father is a big rabbi?" And the guy said, "No." And then he asked him gently a second time and the guy said, "No." And then when it was getting real close to engagement, he told the guy, "Look, I really think you're being blinded." He like, "Lay it down. I really think that you are being blinded." And the guy said, "No." And then the guy was holding by engagement, and then the guy realized that, yes. but he was deceiving himself, and he wasn't willing to hear it. Sometimes the words we say sit there. Some words have to be said, even though the person won't respond right away. And you just have to have said your own. There was the story I told you guys about a guy whose whole family was against the girl he was dating. Remember the story? Dated a girl, dated her for a long time, and then his whole family was against it, and then he called me up and asked me to go meet the girl, and I said, buddy, if everyone's against it, they don't matter, what do you want me? You guys know the story? I told this, okay, maybe a year ago, I don't remember. So he said, no, I want you to know. And he broke up with her and left the country. I asked him, what does your family have against the girl? So he said, they say she's not good looking enough. So I said, for that, they're going to decide looks for you? Do you think she's good looking enough? Yeah. So for that, your family's telling you to break up with the girl? Yeah. And I knew the guy's history. I mean, he'd been with the lowest of the low when it comes to girls. And I don't want to explain. So I said, you know, she's okay. But if you want me to meet her, okay, fine. So I went, I met the girl. We met for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then he calls me up.
It didn't take any longer than that.
He already, she didn't have time. I was willing to go out for a cup of coffee or something, and she didn't have time. Fine, I met her at her office, and we spoke for 5-10 minutes, and then he calls me up. He's not in the country anymore. And I'm standing there deliberating with myself, is there any point in saying anything? But the guy asked me, and I schlepped down to wherever it was she was working, and you know, I took the time, fine, you know, fine. So at this point, if he wants my opinion, I said, look, I don't know why you want my opinion. Your whole family met her over Shabbos and everything, and I met her for all of 10 minutes. But if you want to know what I thought after 10 minutes, and after 10 minutes, I saw nothing wrong. I think she's a fine girl. And you tell me nothing wrong, and your family's saying nothing wrong. Your family's saying that they think you should marry a better-looking girl. I don't think that's a reason to stop with this girl. I don't know. I met her. She seems nice. So what can I tell you after 10 minutes meeting her? All I can tell you is if after a year you thought this was for you, and you turned your back on this because your family decided her looks aren't good enough for you, I think if you're going to listen to your family here, you're going to listen to them throughout your life and never going to move forward in life. If this is the stupid advice they're giving you, then I think you have two choices. Either get married to this girl, or don't get married. Because if this is the type of advice they're giving you, I really have a hard time respecting that. And I said to them, look, but I have to tell you, I don't believe you'll listen to me, and I don't think you should listen to me, because I only met the girl for all 10 minutes, and your family met her for whole Shabbosos, and I don't know. I have to tell you my opinion, because you asked for it, but I don't believe you're going to listen to it. I just felt I couldn't not tell you. So I kept apologizing that I'm saying it, even though I don't think he's going to listen to it. To make a long story short, they have two kids today. and they're married.
Thank God. Yeah.
Right. Now, sometimes you just have to say your own. You know. But here he asked me for it, and that's a world of a difference. He called me. I didn't call him. And when someone doesn't call you, more often than not, they're not interested in hearing what you have to say. If it's your son, then you can talk. If it's your sibling, you could talk. If it's your cousin, you know. And even if it's your brother, very often if he's decided to marry her and you're going to try to say something, you're not going to get anywhere. But sometimes you have to speak anyways. And when you're going to speak, so then it's very beneficial to work slowly and work with stories. And maybe start with talking about a third party, not even talking about them. And then you try to think with them. People have it much easier to think honestly about a third party. Don't be surprised if about the third party they come to a conclusion, this guy's crazy, he should really not be leaving college, he should finish his degree, he should really not be going after the stock market and thinking he'll make a living there and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I'll give you this whole long speech, and then after a minute you turn the tables and you say, and what about you? And then the guy says, oh, but that's a different story. Be prepared for that too. So you have to do things gently and slowly and not suddenly throw it at him like Natan did with David. David was a big person, so David could handle that. Most people, you can't do it that way. Most people, you have to suddenly, it dawns on you, like, wait a second, I was just wondering, you know, when you're doing A, you know, you have to do it like very slowly. And you have to daven a lot and think a lot. Think a lot before you talk. Like, prepare your thoughts and try to listen more than you talk. In most cases, you're missing a lot of important factors. And it's much better to come with questions than to come with conclusions. If you're coming with a conclusion, then it's you versus them. So if you're a parent, sometimes you have to come and say, I think you're making a mistake. But as a parent, hopefully you have the full picture. If you're coming in with questions, very often you could say, look, I heard you're doing this. A question is giving respect to the other side. You're saying, I know this is your decision, and I know you thought it through, and I know it must be that there are many reasons why this makes sense. I was just wondering. And that's always better, because that allows the person to reach their own conclusion. The second, it's your conclusion versus their conclusion, there's the ego factor. If there are questions, then you're basically trying to lead them to your conclusion. And then you're giving them the tools with which you reached your conclusion. You're saying, look, I know you made this decision. I was wondering, have you thought about A? And what do you think will be when B or C? And then you could hear them out. Now, if after all your questions, you still think one way and they think the other way, you'll at least have many, many more tools and a much better understanding of where they're standing to know how to address their position. So I think then you'll have to decide if it makes sense to take a stand. But whenever it comes to giving advice, I think the best way is to ask. To ask and just pose the questions that you're thinking about to them. And you also have to find the setting and the time that they want to talk to you. And sometimes that means that the first phone call will be just to take them out to a cup of coffee, and the second time to take them out for pizza. And only on the third time will you get anywhere. I mean, I had a kid that I was working with also that way. I had a kid that I had thrown out of high school in 12th grade, a month before Regents. Okay, and that's not an easy decision. Till today, I ask myself whether it was a right decision or a wrong decision. But I wanted to make sure he stayed on the path. So I took him out, and I took him out a second time. He didn't know I was behind getting him thrown out. But what? No, he found out. And then he invited me to a dark alley on a dark night. And I came. But at any rate, but in order to try and help him move his life forward, so I took him out, and I went out with him once and a second time. This was when I was teaching high school. And a third time. And slowly, I built the relationship. So it involves a lot of work to get to a point where you could work with a person. First you have to build the trust, first you have to build the relationship. And even if you think the relationship is holding in a certain place, it pays to strengthen it before you talk. And you also have to find the timing. Meaning if you're calling on the phone, you don't know what else is going on in their lives, maybe they don't want to hear from you. Could be in the best relationships that now isn't a good time. If you went out for supper and you hear what's doing in their life and you invited them to your house and you're talking and you're spending the weekend together, then you could find the right time. One of the best ways I find to have such conversations is on a hike. If you can invite them to a long hike together and then during a hike you get a bigger picture, you get the bigger picture of what's going on in their life, at some point you could find out all you need to know, and then see if it makes sense to say something. But you should also have an open mind. Meaning, in most cases, there are factors you haven't taken into account either, which is what you'll hopefully find out in conversation. And I think that's a much better way to give advice than to just come out and say, this is what I think. Because you should also recognize you shouldn't have such a strong opinion yet.
People make like qualifications that don't exist. They like, you're too young, you're too dumb, you don't know, you've never been in this. Everyone makes some kind of excuse of qualifications that are like nobody would ever have. And so they just assume, well, I'm right because I know. Because I have all the, I thought of everything. And you're like, well, no, I'm trying to bring a perspective. Like, here's a perspective that maybe you haven't thought of. And a lot of people are just not open to hearing anything. So I've noticed that some people, especially if they're closer to you, like I said, either family or within a close range of you, close friends, close. They just kind of said, well, you know, you're my friend and all, but you know, you haven't been in this situation. You're not married, or you don't. I'm like, yeah, okay, etc. I'm just pointing out an observation from an outside perspective, not I'm telling you what to do or anything. But they just assume because you are whatever, you're a boy, you don't know, you're a girl, you don't know, you're doing this. You didn't study what I studied in college. You didn't anything. It could be everything, and you're like, your criteria for what you listen to is like nobody exists like.
So two things. A, sometimes you have to realize people aren't interested in hearing us. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. It's their life. Okay. Right? Okay. And secondly, if you don't take a stance, but rather you ask a question, so that I think everyone's entitled to ask a question. They might say, I don't want you in my life. It's none of your business. Okay. So they've closed the door. So now it's their life and you have to get used to it. Then life, sometimes people will make their own mistakes, pay their own price, and there's nothing you can do. And that's part of life. And it could be the closest person in the world to you. I mean, it could be. Fine. That's life. Sometimes you have to find who can talk to the person. There was a couple where the wife refused to take household help. They had 13 kids. Money was no object, meaning they had millions in the bank. But the wife, on principle, was not willing to take any help because she said, if I bring up my kids with household help, then throughout their lives their perspective is going to be that you have household help. They have to see that a mother deals with everything. And the house was a wreck with 13 kids. And she's working from sunrise to sunset and then some. So the husband saw that whatever he says, she's not willing to do this. This is a principle by her, and everyone's paying the price. You know, there's a limit to what one mother can do. So what he did was he went to her seminary principal, her seminary Rosh Yeshiva, or her high school principal or something, who she used to call and consult with every so often about chinuch issues in the home. Every so often they'd get his advice too. And he said to him, look, I want to have a conversation with you about what's going on in my house between me and you. This is what's going on, and my wife is not willing to hear it any other way. Is it possible that in conversation, next time she calls, in a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, whenever it is, you bring up, in passing, you bring a story, you bring up, somehow you bring this up, and roll the conversation in this direction, and point out to her that the kids are really suffering from this, that you think you're gaining on this front, but on the other front, chinuch-wise, look at what the kids are losing. They're growing up with this concept that a house could always look like a dump. And he did that. And after years of the husband's getting nowhere, suddenly the wife was open to hearing something else. So sometimes people are open to hearing from a specific person, and we just have to know who that person is. Sometimes it could be specifically the spouse, sometimes it could be specifically the big sibling, or the uncle, or the friend, and not any relative. Meaning that's a little tricky, but in different situations, different people are open to hearing from a specific person and no one else. We had a student who came here a few years ago, and he said he came here because his Christian girlfriend wasn't willing to marry him, because she said to him, you don't know how to read a siddur. So he walked into Machon Meir and said, I want to marry this Christian girl, and she'll only marry me if I know what the siddur is all about. So guys, teach me what's in a siddur. That's how he walked in, and he kept telling us this. He said, you know, my Christian girlfriend told me that if I don't even know the Jewish prayer book, she can't respect the man like that. I have to know at least that. So teach me that. That was how he came in. That wasn't how he walked out, but that was how he came in. So no one else could convince him that he should know anything about Judaism, but his Christian girlfriend did.
Did you try him with a backer today?
No. No. I don't know. I mean, we haven't communicated in a few months. I don't know where. I don't know.
How did he walk out? He said he walked out.
Well, the last email he sent me, he was engaged to a non-Jewish girl. That was the last email he sent me. Yeah, that was a few months ago. So this story isn't over yet, but it wasn't the beautiful ending we'd like to see. It's not ended yet, you know. He has a whole life in front of him.
Maybe she wants him to wear the
maybe.